Acts 26 is where I sent you. But in Acts 21, Paul was arrested in Jerusalem. What's curious, most curious about that situation is when Paul was arrested, it was a case of mistaken identity. Chapter 21 of Acts and verse 38. So when Paul was arrested, there was a turmoil, there was a fight, there was almost a riot breaking out. And so they arrested Paul, and then when Paul found out why they arrested him, it turns out he wasn't the guy they thought they were arresting. And verse number 38, art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days made an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? Nope, not me. Mistaken identity. But as Paul addresses the crowd that's there, he reveals to them in chapter 22 that actually God had told him to leave that city. Verse 17, it came to pass when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him say to me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Now pause right there and just think about this. God gives a vision to Paul that says, get out quickly. Leave now. If someone were to say this morning in this room as we sit safely, by the way, if someone were to say, hey, there's a fire in the building, how quickly would you get out? Pretty quickly, wouldn't you? Be getting out. But God tells Paul, get out of the city. Paul didn't leave. But here's the kicker to me. Because we talked about in Sunday school that four-letter word, H-O-P-E. God says to Paul, nobody's gonna get saved. You came back to Jerusalem because you have a burden for your people. You're here. I get it. God says, I know why you're here. I understand your burden. But Paul, nobody's listening. You're not helping things. With all that you want to do, with as much as you desire to help them and to reach them, it's futile. You're not going to reach them. What if God said to us today, Capitol Heights, nobody else is going to get saved in your town. You're never going to baptize another person in that baptistry. You're never going to add anyone else to the church roll because for all that you do, your efforts are useless. Let me ask you a question. What point would there be to come back tonight? If God says you're done. You can't help anybody else with the gospel here. What would we do? Because I can tell you this, we don't come here just to love each other and have fellowship. I love you. I'm glad you're here today. But we are here for God's purpose. And that is to reach souls with the gospel and to build lives through the Word of God. And if we're not going to do that, if we're not going to accomplish those two things, then really what's the point? God said to Paul, Paul, you're not going to help. You're not going to fix. You're going to reach anybody. And you know what Paul did? Paul had his blinders on. He had tunnel vision. He was convinced that God just didn't know what he was talking about. Now let me ask you a question. When have you ever known God not to know what he's talking about? God knows what he's talking about. We can trust God. God is always right. And he always wants what's best for us. Best for us. His definition, not mine. So if he's always working for our good, and God says to us, do this or don't do that, whatever he says, we can trust him. Paul said, ah, but God, you don't understand. This is Paul. We admire Paul. We look up to Paul. We have our doctrine from what Paul gave us. Of course, by the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. But Paul's the one that did it. And at the moment when God says to Paul, it's time to go, Paul says, no, Lord, you don't understand. Look at verse 19. I said, Lord, they know I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. When the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting to his death and kept the raiment of the men that slew him. But God, you don't understand. These people need to see I've changed. He was trying to prove a point. Let me tell you something. You don't need to prove a point to anybody but God. I want people to see I'm different. I want people to see I've grown. I want people to see I've matured in Christ, that I'm not the man I used to be. I want people to see that. But the best way for them to see that is for me to just pay attention to God and do what God says and not try to prove a point. Paul had a point to prove. Okay, you proved it, buddy. Now you're in chains. God says to him again in verse 21, depart, for I will send thee far hence to the Gentiles. He said, Paul, I've got so many people for you to reach. And Paul says, but I want the people in my hometown to see that I've changed. God says, Paul, nobody's going to get saved. It's not going to help. Paul wouldn't listen. He argued with God. He debated with God. And eventually he's brought before the governor. In chapter 24 and verse 24. Y'all still trying to figure out why you're 26, aren't you? Because I'm just telling the story. I'm not reading anything. Chapter 24, verse 44. After certain days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. And as he reasoned, I love this right here, he reasoned of righteousness. We ought to spend some time thinking about righteousness. And temperance. We ought to spend some time thinking about temperance. And judgment to come. Boy, it'd be good if some people would think about that, wouldn't it? If we would think about that. You know, when I think about judgment to come, I think about a couple of things. I think about falling down before our King, trembling as I approach the throne of God. I think about Jesus, my Savior, who has washed my sins away, standing there telling me, Derek, it's going to be okay. I think about the ones who are going to be at that other judgment because they're not at the judgment of the righteous. That judgment where he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. There's judgment to come. We ought to be mindful not only of our judgment, but of theirs. Because the more people we can reach for Christ, the more that can come to God and receive the forgiveness of sins. Guys, we may be ashamed and have lots of regrets, but when we stand before God, we don't have to have any. Because our sins are washed away. Felix reasoned. And then look at verse 25 there right in the middle. It says, Felix trembled. Felix was convicted. Felix, he understood he needed a Savior. He understood he was a sinner in need of God. He understood that he needed to turn his life over to God. It says, Felix trembled. Now let me ask you something. Did Felix get saved? You know what God said? God said, Paul, nobody's going to listen. Nobody's going to listen. Paul had an opportunity here. He comes before Governor Felix, and he had already been before the high priest and all that. He just starts giving the gospel, same message he preached. You know, when you travel around and preach, you can preach the same message every week. Go to different church. Y'all have heard that Jerry Clower story, hadn't you? Everybody heard that story? All right. And the chauffeurs in the back, all right, you got me. So anyway, you can preach the same sermon in all these different places, at least you used to for social media. But anyway. You go around, you preach, same message, travel all these different churches. Well, here, You know, Paul generally gave us testimony. That, I mean, you want people to get saved? Tell them how you got saved. You want people to know that you've been transformed? Tell them how God transformed you. I was on the road to Damascus. I was going to arrest some Christians. I had been beating them and whipping them, and I was there when Stephen was stoned, and I was on my way to Damascus. It was noon. The sun was in the top of the sky, and yet there was a bright light, and it blinded me and all those that were with me, and they heard the thunder, but I heard a voice, and that voice was Jesus. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Oh. And I fell down on my face and I said, "What wouldst thou have me to do, Lord?" And Paul told about his salvation and then how he went and got baptized and the scales fell off his eyes after he was blinded for 3 days, and how he had committed his life and God said, "I'm going to use you to reach the Gentiles." And Paul just told, "Look, this is how it happened to me. This is how I got saved." When he went to see Felix, you know what he preached? Same message. When he preached, people would get saved. He preaches to Felix. Felix gets convicted by the Holy Ghost, but guess what? Doesn't get saved. You know why? Because Paul should be preaching somewhere else because he shouldn't have been arrested in the first place. Guys, we've got to listen to God. Pastors will go to a church and they'll stay at a church and they say, "Well," and God says, "It's time to go." And they say, "Well, I don't really want to go. I want to stay." But nobody gets saved. You know why? Because God says, "I got some other place for you to be." And if that's Kentucky, then you got to go, Bill. I'm going to talk to God about that, though. But if God moves us, God wants us to do something, we've got to obey Him and we've got to go, even if we don't, even if we have a reason that we can try to justify before God. When God says it's time, it's time. No hanging around. Well, Felix didn't get saved. He was under conviction, but didn't get saved. In fact, he said, "You know, I'll send for you again," in verse 25, "when I have a convenient season." And you know, the Bible tells us, Bible says that Felix called him. Actually, they had a lot of fellowship together, a lot of communion together. They spent time in man-to-man conversation other times. But it never tells us Felix got saved. And I believe we could go back to that verse where God says they're not going to listen. Well, it wasn't just Felix that he reached out to in chapter 26. Oh, we're finally there. Chapter 26. "You've been holding place. I'm glad. I'm proud of you." He was dealing with the governor. Felix had been replaced by Festus, not the same one on Gunsmoke, different guy. And Festus was going to hear him, and but the king came to town. But you know what Festus has to say? Number one, Felix says, "I'll call for you at a more convenient time," and Felix is under conviction. Now, Festus has something else to say. In verse 24, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." He said, "Paul, you're too open-minded to all these religions, and now you've got on one that's made you crazy. Let me assure you of something. When you get saved and get baptized and get in church and get right and start reading your Bible and actually seeing what it says, and it starts to change how you think and how you speak and what you expect and how you treat others and how you expect to be treated, and it just changes who you are, people are going to say, you're crazy. You're crazy. You got too much religion. You've been reading that Bible too much. You go to church too much." How many of you heard that before? Yeah. They said it to Paul too. That's the only thing we see Festus say. "Much learning has made you mad. You've been reading your Bible too much. It's made you crazy." Let me say this. You better get in that Bible and let it make you crazy. Because what the Bible has to offer and what this world has to offer are diametrically different. And then there's Agrippa. So after 2 years of being in confinement, He goes before Festus, and at the same hearing, King Agrippa is there. In verse 26, the king, Paul is continuing his response to Festus, and he says, "The king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner." Festus says Paul's crazy, and Paul says, "Festus, this is just what happened. I didn't make any of this up. This is not new. The king's here. He heard it all. He knows about all this stuff. Look, let's go back and look what happened. Jesus was preaching, healing people, changing lives, walking on water, turning water to wine, feeding thousands with just a little lunch. And then he was crucified. They crucified him at Passover. Buried him in a tomb, and they sealed it with a stone, and they put a sign that says, 'No trespassing.' But the Lord didn't obey that sign, did he? Except he was trespassing out instead of trespassing in." And he went down. Well, anyway, the stone was rolled away and the body was gone. And where was the body? Well, he was walking because he met Mary there in the garden, and he saw the apostles in the upper room, and he's been seen all over the place. There were lots of people who saw him. And then one day he was preaching and teaching, and up in the air he went. He was gone. That's it. And there were two men like angels that stood by and said, "As you've seen him go, so shall he come again." And Paul says, "Agrippa, this is the first time you heard this? I know you've heard this. I mean, this happened. There's witnesses. There's people talking about it everywhere. I know you've heard this." And King Agrippa said one of the saddest things ever recorded. In verse number 27, Paul says, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest." And then Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost." Tragic. You know, we talk about lots of things, and whether it's Sunday school or visitation or outreach, whatever we try to do, it's because we don't want people to almost get to heaven. We want to give them a clear presentation of salvation. I want you to know that you're going to heaven if you're going. I want you to know that if you're not going, I want you to know that too, because I want it to burden you. See, right now, from your heart to God, you can say, "God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died to forgive my sins, and he rose the third day to give me victory in life. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. And God, I give myself to you in the name of Christ." And when you pray, God will hear you, and he'll answer, and he'll write your name in the book of life, and he'll reserve your spot in heaven. He'll save your soul, and it'll be settled. Not almost. Completely. "King, I know you believe. I know you believe. Oh, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And then Paul says in verse 29, "I would to God, not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am." Let me ask you a question. Is that the kind of faith you have? Would you want someone else to have faith like you have? Think about that. What would it do for them if they had faith like you have? You know, in all honesty, I try to be a good example as a pastor. And I don't know that I succeed. But I wonder about your heart today. Are we trying to be a good example? Are we trying to be, as Brother Bradley said, they might not read the Bible, but they'll read us? Maybe that was Brother Adam that said that this morning. They might not read the Bible, but they read us. Could we say to them, I wish that you were like me, almost and altogether such as I am. If you've got a faith crisis right now, won't you talk to God and say, God, I believe, I believe, I believe. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, won't you reach out and say, God, forgive my sins. Wherever you are in your walk today, won't you say, God, I want to get to the place where I could say, I wish everybody had the faith that I have. Because if they had the faith like I have, they could get through life. Not without struggles, but knowing they have a God that loves them and a Savior who's walking beside them. Let's stand. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity we have to be here this morning. The time that we've had to be in your word. God, for those that are facing challenges and obstacles of their faith, I pray that right now they will look to you and say, God, I believe. I give my all to you. Maybe there's somebody who's struggling with a calling or some direction you've given them in their lives, and you've said, you're done here. Stop focusing all your energy on this. Lord, would they say, yes, Lord, instead of what Paul said, oh, but you don't understand. God, keep us from arguing with you. Give us clarity of thought, mind, obedience, and surrender. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity.